Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm really excited to welcome back to the program from the Real Housewives of Miami, Leah Black. And Leah, thanks for calling. And I know that you had a really, really good event that helped raise money.
I hope so. We're still organizing it. We have the aftermath now. Delivering the auction items, collecting the rest of the money, you know, organizing the files. It's a big thing. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks of aftermath to clean up. But, yeah, it went great. We had fun. Everybody had a good time. And, you know, hopefully we made a lot of money. We'll see.
All right. So tell us about the event, and then I want to go into some of your upcoming projects after that. But everyone likes to hear about, you know, you did the whole red carpet and all the different things. How did everything go? And I guess the process of planning it, because I remember we were talking, you were still in the final stages of planning.
Yeah, you know, it takes it takes months to plan it normally, but this year, because we weren't able to secure the talent until about 7 or 8 weeks out, we really rushed it, and we just got lucky. We were able to just make it happen by really killing ourselves. So we spent months looking and digging for talent, but, you know, it wasn't we weren't able to secure it. And so once you until you secure the talent, you can't put the invitations, you can't set out the save the date, you can't organize the donors or the auction items because everybody wants to know when and where. So that kind of put us a little bit behind the gun, but, you know, we were able to pull it off. It's basically Jason and I, and then one time out of the year we hire maybe someone for like maybe $8 or $10 an hour to help us sort through all the millions of phone calls that come in and the emails and the files and keeping the auction items straight. But it's really just the two of us year-round, so it's a major undertaking.
So all that planning, and then finally the event comes. I remember seeing you tweet out, you were like really pleased it was happening. You said, finally we're here. Finally,
we're here, and it was great. And we had, by the way, I mean, huge amounts of, you know, press. I mean, the press was national and international and print and television and magazine. So we got a huge amount of press, and, you know, everything really went flawless. I mean, Flo Rida was amazing. He performed for a full, I mean, probably close, maybe an hour, and he jumped off the stage and ran around in the audience and put people on his shoulders, and, I mean, he really put on the show. And before that, we had Taylor Hicks, who, you know, he was one of the first winners of American Idol, and he's just signed on in at the Hotel Paris in Las Vegas for a permanent gig there, and he was amazing for the dinner music, and he played the harmonica, and he sang, and, you know, he did a little country, did a little blues, he did a little bit of everything. And then we had this guy called Whiskas, who's, I mean, he's a DJ and a light guy, but he's more than that. I mean, he performs in huge, massive stadiums with, you know, 10 feet kind of, I mean, big plastic people that are with all lights flashing all throughout them, dancing around the room, and lights and sound and DJ music. And that went on until, I guess, after one. So, you know, we had a packed house and probably 20 live auction items, over 100 and something silent auction items. And, you know, it was a great night, and we're glad that it's over. And let me make that very clear. We're very glad we're finished. Survived another one.
And then we'll have to talk about the aftermath, which you talked about, then having to look at all the different money you raised, how the total of the expenses of putting on the event and all that stuff. But who were the who's who that came to the event, that came to visit the season?
Oh, my goodness. Let me think. Oh, God, Jason, who came? My mind is blank. Dennis Rodman came, and Sammy Sosa, Bernard Hopkins. They both are big athletes, and most of the housewives. And then what Burn Notice, Gabrielle Anwar, and my God, I mean, I've lost my thought. I mean, I can't even recall who came. Oh yeah, Jonathan Shaban. It's on the Kardashians and Lance Bass. You know, from NSYNC.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, I don't even recall. But you know, we had a fun group. You know, politicians, judges, corporate people, Fortune 500 people, everybody.
Well, it sounds like it was like unbelievable. And I'm sure when you had to go meet and greet and talk to all of them, that took a long time. And you said, what happened to my day? Right. You wanted to make sure.
You have the red carpet, which I did for probably an hour and a half. And then I started walking through the cocktail hour where we had Grey Goose supplied liquor and liquor and more liquor. And the hors d'oeuvres from the hotel, from the Fountain Blue, were amazing. So after walking through that area for a long period of time and greeting everybody, then everyone went into the ballroom. And I tried to make the rounds around the table. But between the fires that there are to put out and the people that, you know, want their picture taken or want to talk with you, the night goes by pretty fast. And so, you know, it was pretty crazy. But, you know, Dennis, of course, was a big hit because, you know, wherever he goes, craziness goes and press follows. So basically, it was a fun night.
Well, I'm sure Dennis is crazy. Have you ever met Dennis before this event?
Oh, yeah, we're friends. We go back a long way. Yeah.
Well, I was a huge Dennis Rodman fan, especially when he played for the Pistons then, and things got and did you meet him when he started playing for Miami? Is that when you met him, or you knew him before that?
No, I met Dennis didn't play
in New York. I mean, LA, I don't know. When he played.
No, I knew him way back. I don't even remember how and when. And then, you know, when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he invited us to go, but then we didn't go. But we've been friends for quite a long time. Kind of collects people, and I find him kind of fascinating and interesting. You know, whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, or you think he's crazy or not, you have to admit he's a fascinating character to watch, you know? So I find him interesting to watch.
I'd love to have an interview with him. What a fun guy he would be to interview, because especially I watched him on The Celebrity Apprentice, the last one, and he was definitely did better than the first time, for sure. It was
my gosh. He's crazy. Yeah, so that was that night. And then, you know, then a lot of people come in from out of town. So then, you know, you have the entertaining of the people before and after they leave town. And, you know, so it was just kind of one of those crazy weekends that we're still recovering from.
The recovery will continue forever, right?
We'll continue. The recovery continues, absolutely.
So when you're saying the final part is the damage control or whatever after the whole process is done, so you go ahead and then you have to count out all the money that was raised, look at the expenses.
Yeah, try to count the money. We try to still negotiate prices down of anything we were charged for. The sponsors pay for a lot of it, so sometimes we go back to sponsors and ask for more money. And, you know, we still work the deal. I mean, we work at, like, every single dollar is, like, our life depends on. Because if you don't work it that way, at the end of it, you just don't make any money. Because, you know, the charities used to be where everybody wanted to give everything. But now it's become almost a little cottage industry where, you know, the hotels make money and the lighting and the sound people make money. And everybody gets in on a little bit of the action. Whereas before, back, you know, when I started this 19 years ago, you know, there weren't that many charities and everybody wanted to do their part. But there's so many charities now that they just can't afford to do their part, you know. So I should have locked them all down on 20-year contracts. Yeah. But I never had any idea I'd be doing this 19 years later, let's be honest. my God.
Well, it just seems like you're very experienced in this in different ways that you talked about in your background. But now let's go to one thing you were really passionate about. Here's your brand, the Lia Black brand. And your foundation is so important to you and all these things. But now let's talk about specifically the product line we were talking about and how you were ready to launch a lot of things. How are things going there?
Well, things are going well. You know, I have the world of LiaBlack.com. And, you know, I've been in the beauty business for, oh my gosh, 20 plus years. And I've had infomercials. I've been on HSN. I've had international distribution. I've, you know, worked this business for a very long time. And then when I got married, I kind of took a little bit of a time out, and then I wound up, fast forward a few years later, having a little boy who's now, he just turned 12, and so I didn't work as hard as I used to work. And then I decided, after my son was in school, he's like so busy and my husband's busy, and I thought, you know, I'm doing the charity full time, I should just get back into the skincare and beauty business. So I relaunched my initial skincare line that I've had 20 years, which has still been around, but I really haven't made it a national presence like I used to. And then I just kind of stumbled onto this fabulous handbag plan that I started by making bags or having bags made for myself. And then after that, I decided, you know, if I'm going to jump in the business, I may as well jump in it. So I put the big website up, and we're doing promotions and talking to television networks and things about promoting the line. And, you know, I'll go back and probably do it like I did before in grand style if I don't wear myself out in the meantime.
And because of that experience, you could be very successful in your business then, right? Because you did.
I would think so. You know, I would hope so, because I've done it for so many years, and I know the ins and outs. I know the people. I know the skincare business. You know, we've got the clinical studies. We've got the scientific research. We've got the claims that we can make, and the testimonials, and the befores and the afters, and all the things that that I know how to do, I'm just going to do again, but I'm trying to do it in a leaner, meaner way and not be so labor-intensive like it was before, when I would travel 100 or 200,000 miles a year, traveling all over the place and doing appearances and doing seminars and trade shows. I'm trying to do it a little more smart, so I don't have to work quite as hard to get the same results. But it's really more of a movement, really, about women and empowering women and how to help women get where they want to be and stay where they want to be and work smarter and less, you know, hard, and really be all they can be. So, you know, the skincare and the pocketbooks and the jewelry and the things that I sell are just sort of a vehicle to do that, because once you connect with the consumer and you have kind of things in common, you know, they all want the same things. And if you can, through your experience, show them how to get those things and empower them to get those things, it only benefits them and it only benefits you. So why not?
Exactly. So, okay. So that's where we're going there. Any other news to report?
Well, you know, we have our little non-show that no one knows about going on.
Yes.
And other than that, I would say that's a pretty busy schedule. My son, my husband, the show, the charity, my business, and what else do I have going on, Jason? I don't think he's listening. Nobody ever listens to me.
So you're filming the next year of the show then?
Oh, my book, too. I have my book. Oh, my God,
gosh.
My book.
That's why we have to have you on monthly, Leah, because there's so many things
to talk
about.
I know. There's too many things.
So I didn't know this. So put me through the loop. There's going to be another season of Real Housewives of Miami then?
Well, they've announced that there's another season.
Congrats.
And
that's great.
They've been doing some filming in Miami, and everyone's optimistic that this is going to be a really big show this year. So we'll see.
Oh, but you can't say anything, because I understand. But let's talk about the book now. When is that coming out?
Well, I wrote this book about 3 years ago, and I called it Leah's Little Black Book, but it's the socialites of Miami and kind of their little dark secrets, but they're camouflaged characters, like, you know, Jackie Collins would do. And a woman from Vanity Fair read it, and she said, oh, my God, it's so Truman Capote-esque in his earlier writings, where everybody's going to want to pretend they're one of these characters in the book, no matter how bad they look. But my reluctance was that people are going to go, oh, my God, is she talking about me? So I'm having it professionally edited right now, and then I'll bring it out after the first of the year.
Well, I'd love to have you back on a monthly basis. There's so much to talk about, Leah. And I already remember after we talked about you know, the whole event and the whole deal, and after I heard all of what happened, that's fantastic. And also, you're still working with your charity, so you have so much going on. And I hear Jason in the background. He's definitely helps you through that process, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. Jason is amazing. He kind of does everything that I just don't want to do or can't get around to doing. So, yeah, he's great.
Okay, so where can we find information on you, Leah, and learn more about you again so our listeners can find out?
Oh, thank you so much. It's always fun.
What is your, where can we find websites, all the different things?
TheWorldOfLeahBlack.com, and I'm on Leah Black Miami on Twitter, and I do a lot of tweeting. And, you know, we have our offices in downtown Miami, and, you know, we're in lots of stores, and we're having fun with it.
Well, fantastic. I know we're going to get, when I come out to the Miami Book Fair International this year, we're going to have to meet and hang out for sure.
Oh, for sure. My husband's never met a book fair he didn't visit.
Oh,
so we'll definitely see.
We love Miami Book Fair, and we love covering it every year. So, and then we'll hopefully have to say, hey, Leah's book will be out too, so we got to get that at the Miami Book Fair. We'll try to
do it. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hope. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, you never know. But good talking to you, and we'll be in touch next month. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Leah Black. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And this is somebody that I remember completely from the days back in MTV and comedy and everything. And I'm really honored to welcome the program, Judy Tenuta, celebrity, comedian, and much, much more. Judy, thanks for calling.
Neil?
Well, I'm excited.
I got a song. Party, 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 party. The world is going mental. You're getting kind of moody. It's time to listen to me, the goddess Judy, because I'm the queen of love. Princess of romance. Shake it up, Neil. Party in your pants. Yeah, party in your pants. Party in your pants. Never has there been such a sexy little dance. You can do it anywhere in any circumstance. Yourself a big fat party in your pants.
Judy, that was fantastic. Now you're really dating me back to that time when you were doing all that. So that was awesome. That was an impromptu. I've had the Wiggles on this week and now you. So a lot of musical performances.
Goody. Well, now, you know, I'm very excited because besides being the love goddess, and the founder of Judy, and I have my own religion, Judaism, I am going to be doing an upcoming show June 1st in Disney World. It's called Gay Days. Yeah! We love Gay Days. It's like, it's a gay world after all. It's a gay world. It's really open to everyone, but it's especially celebrating, you know, people with the gay lifestyle.
Very interesting. And were you surprised that Disney did this? I mean, when I first heard
it. Why would I be surprised? A lot of the people that work for Disney are gay. Hello?
Well, things, again, you don't see that in the mainstream media, Judy, so it's something that's a surprise in certain ways. But that's great. I mean,
okay. So there's a lot of singing and dancing going on in the Disney world. You know, they do their live shows of Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, all the musicals that they put on. And so who do you think does that? People in musical theater. Who's in musical theater?
I'm not going to say
that. Oh, Neil, pick up the courtesy phone. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, it's open to everyone. You know, it's just one day that they're calling it, you know, Gay Days.
Quite interesting. Okay, and so you're excited about that and performing there. But what other performances do you have? But I guess one more question about Gay Days. Are you one of the major people planning this whole thing, or was this
No. I'm the main entertainment. I'm on closing day. I'm the big entertainment, I guess you'd say. So all the gays are going to come there, and you know, everybody's going to come there and just have a good time. And who knows, they will have already been a little bit, had their mimosas and their pool parties, the hot toys in their pool parties. A lot of buff gay men and a lot of diesel women who are ready to, fix my furniture. They love it.
All right. Judy, you're hilarious. So tell me other events that that are coming up for you.
Neil, I am excited about that. And then this And then I'm going supposed to go to New York City July 11th and 12th. I will be performing at the Laurie Beachman Theater. It's right out there on Broadway. Joan Rivers performs there and different people. It's a very intimate theater, but it should be a lot of fun. And I'll do my one-woman show, which is also based on my book, Full Frontal to Nudity. Full Frontal to Nudity. Yeah, I have this book called Full Frontal to Nudity. And I will be having, you know, some material from that. And also some of the passages. One of the main chapters is the Hollywood to English Dictionary. And because, you know, here in Hollywood, as in other places where they, you know, BS you all the time, they never say what they really mean. For example, when a guy says, oh, I can't talk now, I'm on a business call, what that means is I'm having sex with your wife.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on, you know that. A guy says, well, my divorce is almost final. That means he's married and broke.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then I travel a lot on airplanes, so sometimes you sit next to a water buffalo, and, you know, even though I'm a petite flower, I weigh 118, you know, I take up half a seat, but this water buffalo is also taking up half of my seat plus their own. And then she looks over to me and says, oh, I used to be a size zero. And meanwhile, now that means she has to buy two seats in coach.
And do you think that they should have to buy two seats in coach?
They should. Yes, they should. I work hard to stay petite. You know, if they don't know how to shut their trap and stop eating, they've got to pay for it.
Agreed, but are they doing that yet? Not yet. Soon the airlines will figure that out.
Yes. Didn't you see the big controversy about, I think it's Kevin Smith, you know, the director, he said he was on Southwest, and they made him pay for two seats. So then afterwards, I guess he lost some weight.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my. So, Judy, also, I guess, with the book, tell us a little bit about the book. So you said some of your comedy is going to be based on the book. But what made you want to write the book?
Oh, well, of course, you know, I just had all these different stories. And also, a lot of really cool pictures are in here. There's a photo on every page. So it's a combination coffee table book, love advice, and then this Hollywood to English Dictionary, and, you know, so I just really wanted to put that out there. And also, I am very, you know, in addition to being the love goddess, I have now decided I am the new Judge Judy, because I have to bring justice to this country. I'm sorry. I'm so glad that Jody Hairy-Ass got convicted of first-degree murder. Yeah! She got it right.
Well, they definitely got it right. And then can you believe the lawyers allowing her to have an interview right afterwards? What kind of lawyers are morons? Oh, sure.
She's such a media whore. And then, of course, she uses reverse psychology. Oh, no, I really want to be put to death. Yeah, because she's hoping then that the jury will give her the opposite of that. No, I think they're going to give her the death penalty. But, you know, of course it takes years to enforce that. So
it depends on what state you're in. True, that as well. You know, it depends on.
If you're in Texas, they do it the next day. So, you know. But, but Arizona, I think it might take 12 to 20 years, so, you know, but anyway, yay, the jury got it right. Not like Gacy Anthony, that slut is running free.
Oh, my gosh, what if you
been? Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I heard pregnant again. The goddess has got to stop this.
What, she's pregnant? I didn't know about this one.
I heard that Gacy Anthony is living in Palm Beach County in a place called Wellington. So anyone who hates her should hunt her down. And she was talking about being pregnant. You don't see much about her. She's trying to, thankfully, you don't see much about her. So, I was a little concerned. that, you know, the Jody Harry-ass trial would turn into another, you know, a spectacle like the Gacy Anthony thing. So, but luckily they did the right thing, right?
Well, they definitely did the right thing. But let me ask you one question. Did you hear about her? She was tweeting out things during the I was hearing rumors that she was using Twitter. How could she be doing that?
Yeah. She was tweeting that, the prosecutor, who, by the way, did an awesome job, the prosecutor, she said she's lost respect for him. Yeah, because he convicted her, you stupid slut. Yeah, you got what you deserved. And then she was tweeting that, the reason I was convicted is the system, not me. Oh, no, it had nothing to do with the fact that you totally slaughtered this guy. Not even murdered, she slaughtered, stabbing him 29 times in the back, throat, face, slitting his throat to the point where he was almost beheaded. Everyone has said that. And then shooting him in the head. I mean, okay, is there anything more cruel or abominable than that? I don't think so. So guess what, Jody Harry-ass, you got convicted because you are a murderer and a perpetual liar. She was lying to the jury constantly.
Like you said before, she's lying all the time. So you're really into the news then, it sounds like, Judy. It looks like you like
it. Oh, my God, I can't stand it. I wondered what happened to Oscar Pistorius now, too. Did he run off, even though he didn't have a leg to stand on? You don't hear a word about him. Well, that's because he's in South Africa, and he's the only, like, big sports hero they have. So I think, unfortunately, they're going to give him a pass.
Well, I mean, they will, especially when somehow maybe his money will get him out of this, if he does have money. And, I didn't hear anything about that. It's just like South Africa.
It just went away. And that's because it's South Africa, and they want their hero, you know. But the hero also has an anger management problem. And, you know, the girl was right next to him, and he goes, oh, I thought there was an intruder. Like, he doesn't notice that the girl is missing in the... Yeah, come on. She was running away from him.
Yes.
She had nowhere to go. And then he starts shooting the whole bathroom. I mean, come on.
It doesn't make sense, Judy. And that's what's so funny about the news. And I don't know if you keep up with the education news out there, meaning like, I have an education show just on news, and some funny things come up. Did you hear about the one, and this one you maybe can use, did you hear about two kids get suspended for pointing pencils at each other, pretending they're guns?
Oh, my God. And they were probably first graders,
no,
right?
No, you're right. You second graders.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, it's just getting a little bit ridiculous. But by the same token, okay, that stuff goes on in the schools where they're like almost, oh, and that little kid, a six-year-old boy, yeah, and I forget, was it Michigan or something? You know, he just pointed his hand like a little gun and goes, pow, pow, you know, and they suspended him.
Exactly.
We grew up in America, the land of cowboys and Indians. You know, even when we were kids and, you know, many years ago, it was all about shoot 'em up, shoot 'em up. Well, now, of course, what's scary, I see they are overreacting to the, you know, to the automatic weapon murders, you know, mass killings like that. Idiot psycho who went into the movie theater and just shot everybody down.
Yeah, reasonless insanity. Come on.
Oh, and now, yeah. Oh, all of a sudden he decides he's insane. Yeah, okay, buddy. But guess what? We have to execute you because you executed innocent people. You know, you get like you can't go to a movie theater, you can't go to a mall, you can't go to a beauty salon. You can't go anywhere in public. You can't jog in a marathon. I mean, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. It's scary.
Exactly. And go ahead. One more second, and then we do have to find more information on you so our listeners can find out info. And I guess you want to be my news person. Come back next month to talk more news with me.
Yes, I love it. Love it.
It's a great segment. It's killer. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. We talked about killers.
Ah, perfect.
So, Judy,
gun control segment. Yeah.
Judy, where can we find more information on you? Purchase your book and learn more about you.
Yeah. Well, I've got. got a website, www.judytenuta.com. My Twitter is that, and when you go there, you'll see me on Facebook. And then also, I'm my tweet is at Judy Tenuta, my name, JudyTenuta. And, I think that's the best way.
Well, I had a blast. I'm going to contact your agent, say you're coming back next month, and we're just going to talk news. And we could have a comedy skit together. I'll be the news guy, the straight-laced news guy, and you could crack jokes the whole time. What a good gimmick.
I love that story. Hey, listen, I'm going to be coming to visit Pittsburgh at some point because you guys have a fantastic airport. And don't you have a huge mall there?
Yeah, we have a huge mall in the airport. But guess what? There's no planes in Pittsburgh because all the flights are leaving and going somewhere else because of the economy. All right, well, thanks for calling, Judy. I got to run, but we'll talk soon. Okay, take care.
Okay, Neil, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right,
it can happen.
I will. You're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and always excited to have this celebrity on the show. I think she's going to break the record as many, most appearances on my show since I've started as a celebrity, Kat Kramer. Kat, how are you?
I'm great. I'm rocking and rolling, having just seen the Rolling Stones on May the 3rd. Just last week, so I'm still, I'm still like my heart and soul are still at Staples Center. It was the opening of the 15 Counting tour, and you know they say this may be their last tour. It really is their 50th anniversary. It was also just the 50th anniversary of It's a Mad World, and of course we had the big anniversary screening for Turner Classic Movie Film Festival just a few days before the Stones. So it's been a lot of, great anniversaries, and unfortunately, Jonathan Winters passed away not too long ago, right. So everything was in his memory. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still working on the Mick Jagger. My duet with Mick is the title of my show. I don't want to give away too much, but I did record the CD Gemstone, Kat Kramer Sings Mick Jagger, and I have the web series that goes along with it. But I was there mainly to celebrate the Stones and... reconnect with a lot of the musicians that I hadn't seen in a while that I worked with that are part of the Stones on this tour and, other people that I knew, other artists in the audience and friends of the band. And it was just great to reconnect with a lot of people.
It sounds like it. And I think that getting to go there. So you know the Stones well. Do you have a relationship with them and have hung out with them before?
I'm trying. My goal is to do a duet or something musical for music education with Sir Mick Jagger, and he's, an icon for all icons, and he really is, a living legend. I mean, they say that about so many people, but he really is the real deal. So since he's such a big goal of mine in my show and such a running theme in what I'm trying to do with my with the show and my music and, really for music education, I don't want to know him too well because it takes away the impact of what I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm really hoping that he'll, become involved eventually and be interested in what I'm trying to do, and that's kind of one of the goals I'm pursuing. But I've been fortunate to meet all of them, and I'm a collector of Ronnie Wood's art. And the other night, Charlie Watts, it was amazing seeing him, and I don't want to spoil too much either, the fun time I had, but... It was amazing seeing Mick Taylor, because I've known him a long time. He was originally with the Rolling Stones, and then he quit, and then Ronnie Wood replaced him many, many years ago, back in the 70s. But he's so synonymous with a certain era of the band, and he's, such a unique musician. So for the first time since I've been following the Stones, because it was before my time when he was with them, he's finally now on the tour full-time on this particular leg of the tour through the summer, and I think they're also going to Hyde Park in London. They're going to be doing that later on in the summer. He played on Midnight Rambler. I'm hoping that he'll get more songs, more opportunities during the tour. And one of the highlights was Emotional Rescue. That's one of my favorite songs, and they... They actually did it live on opening night. I don't think they'd ever done it live before, but certainly that's what they said. I don't remember seeing it. So it was awesome being part of it. It is really, it was just, you know, they're one of a kind, and it was completely, it's always a great experience, but they haven't toured in a while, so it was just a great thing for me to be able to be part of it and in terms of watching and experiencing it again.
Question regarding, did your father know the Stones well? Did he get to meet them?
No, I actually think that's one thing that I have that my dad didn't cultivate, but he did used to get me Rolling Stones music and records, and he started giving that to me early on, so he must have known something. I mean, I've always been a fan of theirs ever since I can remember, being even little. And he always used to bring the music home to me, you know, when I was growing up, so that's where I learned everything. So, yeah, he contributed to that. But, no, he didn't know them. I don't believe he ever met them. So that's kind of my thing. And I brought my mom in, you know, not the other night, but she used to go with me to the shows, and she got to know a lot of the musicians that work with the Stones that are so incredible that I was able to record with on my CD. So it's been a labor of love for me for a long time, and I was just glad to I'm still doing it and still evolving and to be there.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed that you end up doing a duet with Mick Jagger. So let's hope this happens.
And, even if he just sings two lines a cappella, I don't care. even Mick Taylor. I mean, it's called My Duet with Mick, so it could be either Mick, you know. But, yeah, that would definitely be a dream come true, and that's kind of what drives the whole theme of the show.
Most definitely. All right, so let's go from that, jumping onto that, to this event you participated in, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Gala. You got to attend the event, and you really want to be part of this fundraiser in a, I guess, a very active role next year, but you got to visit and go to the gala. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, my father was a diabetic. He got it later in life, like in his 50s. It actually runs in his side of the family. His mother had it. And, you know, it just, I'm a candidate, of course, I'm hypoglycemic, but that really has nothing to do with type 1 or type 2, I found out. So the JDRF is a phenomenal organization, you know, it's been around for many years, and it's, they have the JDRF, it's called Finding a Cure, the Love Story Gala. They do it every year. This was an anniversary for them, it was the 10th anniversary, and you know, they honored a lot of incredible people, and I was fortunate to be able to go sit with not only my mom, but I had interested, you know, the actor, producer, Dan Vukotinsky, who created Web Therapy, and he's on Scandal, and his husband, Don Roos, who directs Web Therapy, and he's directed many films, and they wanted to participate. They wanted to join us because Mary McCormick, the actress, her husband, Michael Morris, has, I believe, type 1 diabetes. And so, and she was presenting, and we all sat at the same table, and we were able to experience a lot of speeches and, you know, from the heart. What's unique about this particular gala, and I've been to it before, but I really am wanting to be involved now for some things I'm trying to establish. I can't really talk about it yet because it's so premature, but I'm trying to establish something for them for next year that would be ongoing. And it's the, you know, that they involve the kids in the program because it is juvenile diabetes. It's really about detecting early kids that get it. And they have these incredible stories of mothers who, you know, their lives have been changed because their kids, some of them are like 3 and 4 years old, is diagnosed, and it just really, these are career women. A lot of them are in the entertainment industry. They're very high-powered, and but it was all about the kids participating, and they're actually on the show. I mean, they actually participate in the auction. They're part of the speeches, and some of those kids have actually raised money for each other, and they're like, you know, 9 years old, and they've been able to raise a substantial amount of money, so that was great to see that. Stacey Gray performed, and, you know, they had a very pretty substantial silent auction and a live auction that Brad Garrett did. So I was just really happy to be there, and I will do anything I can to help find a cure. I mean, they had a whole thing about the new artificial pancreas that seems to be the latest breakthrough. So you'll hear more about my involvement on that. But I really like what they're doing, and Robert Reed, the executive director, is great. And I'm just really excited about hopefully what I can contribute in the coming years with them.
It sounds like something that really, again, is something that is close to you in a lot of ways to bring awareness and help find a cure. So anything like that, that you always jump onto those opportunities to really help out. And I always commend you about finding those areas, especially like we talk about bullying or any of these other things where, you know what, hey, this really speaks to me, so I'm going to make sure I can do anything I can to help that organization.
Well, you know, I just spoke at an anti-bullying premiere, actually Mandolin Carlson, a terrific actress, who came to Teach Your Children Well, the world premiere at Sunset Gower. And before that, you know, we had the fundraising premiere in Long Beach for it back in May of 2011. And I had Daniel Pewter, who's a leading anti-bullying activist, and he was actually like one of the he auctioned himself off as part of the silent auction for sessions with him because he's just amazing with what he started. So she's in a new movie called The Dead Kid, which is a documentary short, just like, no, it's actually not a documentary, excuse me, it's a feature based on a true story, but Teach Your Children Well, as you know, is a documentary that I premiered about bullying in the schools and school violence. And this is more about when kids or even adults, but this is geared towards kids, you know, see someone being bullied and they don't speak up, they're actually participating in bullying, even if they aren't doing the bullying, but by not standing up there.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I was able to be a guest speaker at the premiere last week. And, you know, I recently have had some experiences again with bullying in the workplace. So it's just something that I just think is, again, accelerating. And it's, we focus a lot on bullying with the students and in the school system, but it also happens with adults too. And I think we need to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, we're talking to Kat Kramer, and we're learning a lot of the upcoming projects she has and interesting developments. Now let's talk about Mad World. The update on that.
Well, we just had the 50th anniversary screening of part of TCM, that's Turner Classic Film Movies, excuse me, their film festival. I think it was the, fifth, I'm not sure, but we were able to be there for the opening night of Funny Girl. They had the new restoration. They had On Golden Pond, you know, my godmother was Katharine Hepburn.
Yes.
Jane Fonda, they had a screening of that with the director Mark Rydell present, and, you know, I was able to participate in 10 different things, but the highlight was really Mad World at the Cinerama Dome, where the movie first opened, and my dad had the Cinerama Dome built specifically for Mad World. A lot of people don't know that, but he's the one that went ahead and had it, actually got them to build the Cinerama Dome. And my mom was on the panel. Unfortunately, Jonathan Winters had just passed away, so they had a special chair for him, like in honor of him. And Marvin Kaplan, Barry Chase, and Mickey Rooney were all participants. And Tom Brown, who's with Turner Classic Movies, moderated. It was sold out. And they showed, like, a little tribute to Jonathan right before the film. So, it was, again, we're probably going to have some more Mad World things coming up in the fall for the centennial. Because the movie originally premiered in November of 1963. This was definitely, you know, part of TCM Film Festival, which has film lovers from all over the world that fly in for it. And, you know, we also, we have a lot of things. I can't announce them as of yet because they're still in the forming stages. But there'll be a lot of Stanley Kramer celebration through August and then through his birthday, which is September 29th. I would say all until December, and then a lot of it will also be in 2014, because a lot of the award shows celebrate anniversaries from the year before. So we're looking at, you know, between now and next April as being Stanley Kramer centennial celebration. And, of course, Bless the Beast and Children being from one of his landmark films. It's now officially the theme song for Paws. I'm dedicating it to the late Pat Derby, as you know. And recently I performed it again. I debuted it at Circus Paws back last year. And then I think I told you I right before I got a chance to perform a special version of it at the celebration of Pat Derby's life in Sacramento. That was back in March. And then I was able to attend a dedication to her at City Hall on April 17th that Ed Stewart, her husband and also the founder of Paws Sanctuary, and Lily Tomlin participated in at City Hall, that Councilman Paul Koretz made the presentation. It was really wonderful being there for that. And then the great Councilman Tom Labonge, who's been a big supporter of my series, he took myself and my mom and Ed Stewart and Catherine Doyle, who's also part of Paws. We all went up and he rang the bell at City Hall in honor of Pat Derby and also in honor of my father. So that was just a really incredible moment. In fact, Ed filmed some of it. It was up on Facebook and YouTube. The link is out there someplace.
And then
I plan to do more with Bless the Beast and Children. I want to do a music video. There's some more live performances scheduled. You know, I'll let you know as soon as those are confirmed. But I'm definitely getting the song out there in her memory and, you know, dedicating the proceeds to performing Animal Welfare Society, which is Paws.
All right, so sounds great what you're doing so far, but then also your good friend Lily Tomlin has a new HBO documentary. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, she hosted with me the world premiere of Elephants and Man, A Litany of Tragedy, that Amelia Kaplan and Jacek Kropinski, that was their film, about the elephant abuse in zoos and circuses. It's very adult-themed. It had a lot of animal cruelty. So, and that film is still awaiting distribution. It's a feature documentary running almost 2 hours. What Lily has gone and done is created an HBO documentary that she not only executive produced with her partner, Jane Wagner, but she narrates it, and Jane wrote the narration. And it's a 40-minute documentary short all about elephants and captivity, and the same thing about how, you know, they really don't belong in zoos and circuses. And actually, Pat Derby, the late Pat Derby, and Ed Stewart is also in it, along with Dr. Joyce Poole and Dr. Mel Richardson, who was on the panel that I had for Elephants and Man, A Litany of Tragedy, and a number of other activists. And this premiered on Earth Day, and what I love about it is it's really, you know, more historical in a sense. It's very National Geographic in its focus. It's only 40 minutes, so it's perfect for families and kids, where the other documentary is very, you know, strong and powerful and makes a lot of impact, but it really is not suitable for kids to watch. This one is more for families, and it aired on HBO Family on Earth Day, April 22nd. So I plan to have some kind of a screening at either the Stanley Kramer Theater or one of the sound stages at Sunset Gower, either as an association with Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World, with another group, or just to do it as that. I rarely repeat the same issues, but because I feel so strongly that young activists need to see this film, I probably will do something with Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World, or just a screening during, you know, coming up during award season, just to get the word out there about the film.
All right. Well,
and they had no LA premiere for it or anything, so it's a short documentary, and those are always harder to market. But I'm just very happy that she did it, and you know, it actually goes hand in hand with "Bless the Beast and Children" as the theme song. I mean, that's just kind of, it's all for the same purpose and the same issue.
Quite interesting. With again, anytime you're involving with Lily, you definitely one of your mentors in so many ways. You want to really highlight the great things she's doing as well in her activist role in many different projects, especially the anti-bullying campaign and also involving animal cruelty. So that's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, and she narrates both Teach Your Children Well and it's called An Apology to Elephants. And it's really beautiful. I don't want to give away too much, but you know, it has the elephant abuse in there, but it's still more a background of elephants and where they came from and, you know, more about them specifically and why they need to be free and, you know, how intelligent they are. In that sense, the other film mainly just focused on the cruelty part of it. But that's really what we need to fix, so it's important to show that.
Well, Kat, I know that anything else you can't tell me until next month, especially because there's always things in the works for you. Many more projects to come up, but again, you're just you're dotting the I's and crossing the T's before you can announce it. So there's a lot of things that are under your hat right now that you can't tell us about. But where can we find more information on Kat Kramer and learn more about all the different things she's doing?
Well, my website, Kat Kramer's Films, thechangetheworld.com. You know, I'm still adding to that. My main website, katharinekramer.com. That's KatharineKramer.com. And Katharine Kramer on Twitter, of course. And then my four Facebook pages, Katharine Kramer, Kat Kramer, Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World, and the Katharine Kramer fan group. And they all have content. And then just Google Kat Kramer. And, you know, there's just a lot of content on there about what I'm working on. But the websites will be updated. Of course, there's going to be more Stanley Kramer Centennial Collection content up on the Internet, too, and I'll let you know when that's officially up.
All right. Well, fantastic. Always like having a conversation with you and hear about all the awareness you're helping others and doing such great things, and look forward to talking to you next month. So take care.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, take care, Kat. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, you're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And it was very interesting. Last time I had this guest on, we were meeting face-to-face in Los Angeles, California. It seems like so long ago. But I want to welcome the program back, celebrity Casey Taylor from Scandal. Casey, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Neil. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Like I said, it's getting closer and closer. It's the final push till I'm on vacation in Hilton Head for 2 weeks in June. So I'm just counting on those days to be on vacay in certain ways. And I've gone through so many different sicknesses. I'm finally feeling more better now, so that's good. Let's go, I guess, what we've been kind of highlighting before. We talked about specifically some of the things you were doing at your church and how you were helping others and with weight and body image and things like that. But then some opportunities have come your way. You have one big event we could promote in Idaho. Then I'm really excited about hearing about the whole process of the fight against childhood obesity and also Feed the Children program that you're going to be involved with and sponsoring with an organization. So let's first go right quickly about the big event coming up in Idaho. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, it's a walk for the National Eating Disorder Association, and it's over in Boise. And so it's like a fundraiser walk to just create awareness for, you know, the young women and men that deal with the body issues that we talk about all the time, and just making sure that, you know, their needs are met and that awareness is brought there so that they know that it's okay to go seek counseling and that, you know, other people deal with the same problems that they do. And so it kind of, it creates like a community for them too.
And I think that's fantastic. I think it's a situation where you, for what you've done so far in your life and how you're looking at the importance of that, and that's one of your big things to be involved in this. How did you hear about it and are involved in the event at Boise?
It's actually like a personal pursuit of my own where, you know, I dealt with like body image and just that self-awareness within yourself where you just kind of have low self-esteem and the things that you struggle with just because of the way our society created. And I sought it out, and it's one of those things that I just really feel passionate about. I think that people need to be aware that it's about who they are, not what they look like on the outside, that makes them an individual.
So you are involved in the event, correct, in certain ways?
Yeah.
So what are the types of things you're going to be doing at the event?
You know, like I create like my own little team, my support group. And then you just make it known that I'm there. You know, people just know that I'm there and that I'm someone who has gone through the same struggles. And then, yeah, I live in Los Angeles and I'm pursuing my dreams and taking that positive road towards, you know, taking care of myself, and that no matter what you go through in life, you can just, it's kind of just having me there as a stance of no matter what you go through, you can achieve and overcome and do whatever you want to.
And from there, that's where you kind of look at your passion. Now, with getting some success in acting and starting to get out there at the red carpet, especially the event with Magic Johnson and all these other things that you've been able to do lately, that you see that now I have this celebrity that I can kind of be able to make change and help others and bring awareness in certain aspects. And that's where you're really excited about the other thing that you're going to be doing. And I think I'm motivated as well, because I'm going to be helping you in this process of two major things, and it's based on the 90-day health challenge. And for our listeners out there, it basically started, it's one of the national 90-day health challenge of Visalus that started through Coach Dale Brown challenging Ryan Blair, the CEO of Visalus, to a 90-day challenge. And basically from there, it's which was the challenge. And then G.J. Right. Reynolds helped in the process of coming up with saying 90 days as a great thing. So you have a 90-day challenge that's really going to be a philanthropic in two aspects. So explain that to us.
Okay, well, for my 90-day challenge, I'm definitely taking on the Visalus approach for health and wellness. You know, that's something I'm always working on. I've been working on toning up and using the products. Oh my gosh, I feel so much better, by the way. I have so much more energy. Everyone's like, what kind of drug are you on? and it's fun. I mean, by the end of the night, I'm still going and I'm talking and just excited. And so it's I love that part about it. But the other thing I decided to challenge myself is not just physically, but also mentally and spiritually, and having positive motivation for myself and writing in my gratitude journal, and then also writing my book that I, you know, you put on the back burner, but of my own personal journey through my self-awareness of who I am and becoming healthy and how I've been working on overcoming my challenges, and just to help other people so that they can see, you know, have someone to look up to or find ways within themselves to keep a positive attitude and push forward. There's nothing, your past doesn't define you. It's everything that you do in the future that makes you who you are.
And so
that's what my 90-day focus is on.
I think it's fantastic, Casey. And the thing that I know you have your YouTube channel, and I'm going to make sure I tweet out your video to a lot of the fans out there, especially, and then also this radio interview as well, as we get that website up and running so that people can be involved. But I think one of the key things, and this is also my push in my 90 days, is again, I'm looking to lose the spare tire in certain ways. It was funny. I was losing some weight. Then I gained the weight back, some stress at the end, especially being sick a few times. That's going to be my goal this 90 days. But ultimately is also to work with celebrities. And this is my major 90 days, and help them through the 90-day challenge and Visalus to help fight childhood obesity. And also to feed the children program that Visalus offers. So my goal for you is just getting you in that, getting you out there to do that. And I think it's going to be fantastic. And I'm very excited for you in so many ways. And I'm glad to hear about the book as well, because you have to be able to tell your story. And I think that's really making you excited.
I agree. And I think, you know, we're all here to help each other. I think you and I have talked about this a lot too, that, you know, if we can't help each other, then what are we here to do? And I think it's so important that, especially with, like, you know, feeding the children and or whatever we're doing, 90 days, getting healthy, but you can motivate your friends and your family and the people around you just for a greater good, and it helps them to be healthy and to be stronger, then they're able to help others. And it's like that ripple effect, you know, or like the whole pay it forward effect. We're all in this together, and if we lose that focus, then we lose a lot.
And I think that's key. I'm so glad that you're building that energy. You're toning up. You're looking at specifically where you're going to go next. But I think the philanthropic part of the whole thing of celebrities, and to find a good message, a good focus for them, is very important because of the how difficult it is in acting, right? And again, the rejection, the disappointment. You want to have something that you're really proud of, right?
Right. Yes. You know, and I mean, even this week, I mean, like, I have had auditions and stuff that you have to put yourself on tape for and send it to Los Angeles or whatever you're doing, and you're constantly being told no, but it's, but you have to build that tough skin and tell yourself, you know, it's all just, it's part of them casting a specific theme.